This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Congress moves closer to a $1.5 trillion tax cut. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The Senate passed a budget resolution last evening, checking one box on a long to-do list in Republicans' push to reform the tax code. Every Democrat voted against the measure, as did one Republican, Rand Paul of Kentucky. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson joins me. Tracy, how does this help Republicans' tax efforts?
So this was widely seen as a vehicle for moving forward with changes to the tax code, because if the House and the Senate agree on a budget, then a tax plan can pass the Senate with a simple majority vote instead of that typical 60-vote threshold that you need to overcome a filibuster. So this was important in that it sets up that tax vote and one that could pass without Democratic support. Otherwise, the process is mostly procedural. Budget resolutions are broad, non-binding blueprints of federal revenue and spending for the coming year. The president doesn't sign them. It won't impact government spending.
Did we learn anything more about Republicans' tax plan in the budget?
So the Senate budget would allow GOP tax cuts to add $1.5 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years. That's a number we've heard before, but there it is in writing that this GOP plan will add to the deficit. The tax cuts the GOP has proposed are actually far larger than that, so we're still waiting for details to see how they'll get down to that $1.5 trillion number. Lots of details still to come. The House version of the budget also called for that tax reform to be revenue neutral. So that will have to be resolved. Basically, we can think of this Senate vote as a step forward for the GOP in their tax plan, but they still have a long way to go, even as they're trying to get a bill passed by the end of the year.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thanks. Let's do the numbers. We'll be watching how the markets react to the news of the budget resolution. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up now in the 2-4% range. Pressure from Amazon has Walmart looking for new kinds of customers. According to the Wall Street Journal, it's close to landing a deal with Lord & Taylor, one of the country's oldest department stores. The partnership would be the first step to creating a so-called online mall at Walmart.com. Marketplace's Rima Crace looks into why the two companies would join forces.
Candace Corlett and Paula Rosenblum are both retail analysts, both with very similar reactions to the Walmart and Lord & Taylor deal.
Probably one of the least likely pairings.
This is just like a what?
Walmart has tapped out its target market of lower-income customers, and Lord & Taylor, known for its stylish and pricier apparel, needs help, says Corlett of WSL Strategic Retail.
They've been struggling for a long time.
Last month, Lord & Taylor brought in 1.4 million unique visitors. Walmart attracted more than 75 million. But Rosenblum of RSR Research says she's just not convinced that Lord & Taylor shoppers will want to buy things from Walmart.com. She says instead, Lord & Taylor should sell its stuff on a different platform that just happens to be owned by Walmart.
It really makes all the sense in the world to create another brand that goes after a different customer that ultimately brings the money into the same pockets.
Walmart may be just at the beginning of its fashion buying spree, right behind Amazon. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
Sales of aluminum are on the rise. That's at least in part because using light aluminum in products can have environmental benefits. But there's a dirtier side. Aluminum production is energy intensive. Julie Grant of the environmental reporting project Allegheny Front looks at the emerging demand for greener aluminum.
In 2015, Ford ads boasted about the new metal in the body of its iconic F-150 truck.
The only pickup with a high-strength military-grade aluminum alloy body.
Replacing steel with aluminum improved fuel efficiency, The lighter weight shaved 700 pounds off the truck, and that reduced tailpipe emissions. Soon, other U.S. automakers followed suit. Industry analysts expect a continued upward trend in aluminum use. One reason? California and 12 other states are moving forward with tougher fuel efficiency standards, as are Europe and other countries. Christine Keener is VP of Sales with Alcoa. She says aluminum will help these efforts.
It is lightweight, it's durable, it's corrosion resistant.
This means the finished products can be friendlier to the climate. But making aluminum still has a heavy climate impact. Worldwide, producing one ton of it creates nearly 12 tons of carbon. That's almost six times the carbon emitted from producing a ton of steel. Automakers and other industries face increasing pressure to reduce carbon down the entire supply chain. But Alcoa's Keener says not all aluminum is equal. Chinese producers rely heavily on coal for power. U.S. manufacturer Alcoa says its carbon emissions are half the worldwide average because it uses hydroelectricity. Keener says demand for this lower impact aluminum is growing.
There is more interest out there from consumers, and we're starting to see it in particular in European automotive and packaging.
In fact, a group of producers and manufacturers, including Alcoa and Apple, are working together to create green manufacturing standards. Fiona Solomon is director of the Aluminum Stewardship Initiative based in Australia.
Our aim is really to try to maximize the contribution of aluminium to a sustainable society.
The group expects to start green aluminum certification by the end of the year. In Pittsburgh, I'm Julie Grant for Marketplace.
And Google's parent company is making a big bet on the ride-hailing service Lyft. Lyft says it's raised $1 billion in new financing led by Alphabet's venture fund, with an eye toward eventually going public. Lyft has been more than happy to take advantage of the recent turmoil at rival Uber. The company says 95% of the U.S. population can now access Lyft rides, up from 54% at the start of the year. But Uber is still the far bigger company, valued at $70 billion, to Lyft's $11 billion. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.